What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers.
Stay tuned. Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi here in Washington, D.C. at the Voice of America studios. Now, Winston Churchill once said, quote, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." And he was not necessarily referring to philanthropy per se. He was rather articulating the idea that people during their lifetime need to constantly be aware of their community and be socially responsible to it. And even though today we're not having a debate entirely about individuality versus collectivism, we're going to have a discussion of our responsibility to the community in which we live, and in a large sense, the global village that we inhabit. Now, there are some legitimate arguments to individuality, but many agree that when you are part of a society, you have the same responsibility to its development as everyone else that is in that society or community. And we know it's easy to sit by and watch from the sidelines as others give their time to community service, others engage in developmental activities, volunteer for local initiatives, etc. I mean, there is a level of belligerence and presumption in that idea. However, one should not forget that social change does not come from outside. It is locally driven by people who feel that they should not rely on anyone else to solve their problems. Also, social responsibility should not be seen as primarily volunteering one's time to a local socioeconomic cause. It could also mean that if you have a business or non-profit organization, a non-profit venture, that you behave in ways that are ethical and sensitive to the community within which you operate. That means that you recognize and respect the social, cultural, economic, and most importantly, environmental aspects of that community. So on our show today, we'll talk to social entrepreneurs who are partly the drivers of a new economic model in many African societies. And even though social responsibility is not necessarily the same as social entrepreneurship, they both go hand in hand in one way or another. And we will get an expert to tell us a little bit about the difference or similarity between these two concepts. But we want to highlight the fact that you can essentially make a living from creating opportunities for others while helping the community in which you live in. At least that's part of the philosophy around social entrepreneurship. Let's get straight into the conversation. What do you feel is your social responsibility? This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
Yes, as a community member, like in my area, I do have a responsibility, especially where cleanliness and sanitation are concerned, because I like it when people are in a clean environment. It's healthy. Making sure that the area around me is clean, like gathering rubbish, you can gather members around, collect family members in that area, and they gather rubbish around that area, they burn it, they make sure that the trenches are clean, they remove the dirty things, the polythenes, the papers, and making sure that, you know, toilets are clean.
No, I don't have. Such responsibilities are there, but people want to be consulted about before doing something. A person should do something. If he or she sees something bad, he or she must take a hand on it. It's not that the person responsible, you should go to first, then seek for permission and do this.
No, I'm busy with my work schedule. As my work schedule, it's so busy, so I just don't have time for that. You know, people always blame the government for everything. Me, I don't believe that. I don't think the government is involved in that. It's the people themselves. It's me, myself. It's just me.
You better do the talking. My money has your cash here. I'm spending just on shopping.
Yeah, I feel I have some social responsibilities. In Africa, we have extended family. So as such, you don't only take care of your immediate family, but you also take care of other people surrounding you, That means even orphans from distant relatives, orphans in the community, and other vulnerable as well. So I feel I have a very huge responsibility, rather.
My special responsibility in the community is that I have to take part in everything that happens in the community, which is meant for developing the community as well as the country as a whole. For instance, participating in public works, like we do clean the streets, maintaining the roads that are in our community. Sometimes we do organize ourselves to go to the hospitals, like a cleaning up exercise. Sometimes going to the markets, making sure that the marketplace is looking tidy and it's looking clean.
I realize that I have to give back to the society, because it's the society that has...
Thanks for your opinions on the topic today. If you're just joining us, welcome to the show. We're talking about social responsibility. Now, this basically means an individual's engagement with their community. This can be expressed as an interest towards what's happening in the community, as well as in the active participation in the solving of some of the local problems. Now, a socially responsible generation understands that they are part of a collective social contract that requires them to actively participate in all aspects of that society's development. It's about playing your part. We shouldn't wait for others to come and do things for us, but instead take initiatives that promote our community and its welfare, that make our area better.
Right, Nadia, for example, by taking part in the cleaning of the street in which you live, or you take part in organizing an event that is connected to this, to the community at large, or giving social services to children without parents, or helping elders of the community, etc. So Amaka Okwachukwu is a young Nigerian. She just returned to Nigeria after college here in the USA, and she started a job, young professional, and I reached her in Lagos on her first job to ask her on what she thinks about this idea of social responsibility.
We do have a social responsibility, I think. I think to take care of our community. So let me use an example, particularly in the African context. We have a sort of a social safety net. So it's if you look at a country like Nigeria, for the most part, people, you know, there's 70% of our population, so according to World Bank figures, if we believe this, they say 68% of the population is living below $1.25 a day.
Poverty, really? You're talking about poverty, people who are living under poverty.
Exactly.
Right.
And Nigeria is, quote-unquote, said to be a very rich country.
It's not just quotations. It is true. Nigeria is a very rich country.
It's not that rich.
In resources, you have a lot of... all the natural resources in the world, okay? So do not put it in quotations, okay? It is a fact that is both verifiable. It's not a myth. Okay, so Nigeria is a rich country. There's a big disparity. I think that's what you're driving to, a disparity between very rich people and very poor people. Let's get that out of the way, Maka.
But I'll also argue that Nigeria is not as rich as people say we are. In the sense that even though we have a lot of resources, we do have a big burden. I think, you know, we have 167 million people roughly, and that's what the census says, so it means that we have a lot more people. And so if you think about the amount of people and amount of mouths we have to feed, that's quite a lot. And I think that...
But Amaka, you're forgetting that also people are actually resources too, right? There's a power in numbers.
Absolutely. There is a power in numbers.
And so that should not, you know, if that is complemented by other natural resources like the, like oil, and if we are talking about the philosophy of Ubuntu that you kind of alluded to, right? You know, you look out for your brother,
yes,
your community, then you've not really done a very good job at that if there's that big disparity in income, in livelihood.
That's very true. But let me say some of the positives, and then we can say some of the things that we have work to do. So I think one good thing we have is a social contract. So if you look at, we don't really have that many programs for old people in Nigeria. So what we see happening is that the old people, when they are young, and everybody is young, they take care of children. So people take care of their kids, and when they grow older, it's expected that the children take care of the parents now. Mm. And so, you know, that is sort of like a social contract that we have, because ultimately We don't live in a society where people go get jobs that can afford to pay your pension and then you can retire like they do in most other places abroad. And so, like, I think that we need to have some sort of social responsibility in places where there really sometimes might not be that much to go around. So that way, it's important to have social responsibility, at least when formal systems have not been put in place. It's very, very important. But I agree with you. We haven't done enough. You know, I think if you look at the disparity, what you see is that a lot of people have a lot of wealth. So, for example, I was actually saying today I'm in Lagos, and to take a taxi from a hotel to another place just down the road is they charge you 20. It starts at $20.
$20 US dollars.
$20 for a trip that takes like 3 to 5 minutes.
Are you conflating currencies here? Is it really dollars or naira?
Dollars.
So $20, that's a lot of money.
₦3,000.
Is the cab driver among the haves or the have-nots?
That's the question we have to ask ourselves. I think he's among the haves because he has definitely, after receiving $20, I think you can't say you're part of the have-nots.
Right.
So, and I think there's even an economic argument for social responsibility in the sense that you can actually be selfish in being socially responsible. So, for example, there's a theory that says that if you have a lot of income inequality in a country, then you're basically on the verge of a war or something, you know. And we've
right.
started seeing things
civil
like that
unrest and things of that nature.
Exactly.
And that if you invest more in your community, then the more money you make. Actually, you know,
exactly.
amassing wealth at
money,
the top is not
peace,
a good economic model.
It's not a good economic model.
Mm.
So I think social responsibility makes sense from many angles. I think people who give generally say that when you give, you actually feel good. So you have some selfish reasons for giving to feel good. And I think economically, it's in your own interest as well to give so that the economy doesn't go to shambles. Now, that said, what most people do is that they say, okay, I'm not going to be socially responsible. I'm just going to make as much money as I want. And even if I believe that the economy is going to explode, why do I care? I have a UK passport, and when that explodes, I'm going to go to the UK and retire.
So that is, I guess, a good example of social irresponsibility.
Exactly. That is irresponsibility. And I think that one way, and I think what I've seen is that most countries that do develop, they sort of incorporate social responsibility into the law. So, for example, I'll say taxes, redistributive taxes, are one way of social responsibility. It's
right.
saying that, you know what, if you earn above this certain amount, you're going to pay 50% of your taxes to the government, and the government is going to use that for welfare programs, to build roads, to have public goods. So I think to some extent, social responsibility has to be enshrined in the law.
Right. And also going back a little bit to the argument that you were making, that we all benefit in a way. If the government builds the roads from the taxes that you paid, then you're able to transport your goods to the market, or people are able
exactly.
to come and visit your shop or and buy your stuff
exactly.
from, you know. So it does make sense. Now, let me, before we end this conversation, I wanted to ask you personally if you feel like you're a socially responsible young lady.
I think
I don't want to put you on the spot, but, you know. Let me.
Yeah, I think you've done just that. I'll say that I think I am. Mm. I'm trying to be. I think ultimately, I think one of the ways to be socially responsible is in, you know, some initiative that I run. It's called AfriMind. It's an NGO, and what we do is trying to amplify the voices of people, you know, the African voices that are trying to solve problems within our country. So I think, you know, by doing that, we can get more, you know, tangible solutions to our own problems out there. And so I think, I hope that is going to be one medium in which more developmental solutions will come about and more real discussions will come about. So that's, I think, one of my ways of being socially responsible. And I think in my career as well, You know, I try to be socially responsible by doing, working on projects that I hope will have an impact on the Nigerian economy.
Mankind and my girls start back. Justice are where the youths and need overall. Where them deal with mankind.
Welcome back. In case you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Mvunganyi in Washington, D.C. Now, if you want to engage with us on this specific topic or any other topic that we've talked about on the show previously, I'm on Twitter. My personal handle is at Upfront Africa. That is at Upfront Africa. Follow me. I'll follow you back. Let's engage. Let's talk. Now, we are talking about social responsibility. And experts say that social responsibility includes the engagement of each person towards the community that they live in or have lived in or just have a connection to. And so being socially responsible is playing an active role in participating in the solving of some of the local problems or challenges. These problems could be economic in nature, they could be social, they could be political. And in the case of Rahama Wright, they were economic, but also they were social. Rahama Wright is a young social entrepreneur. She's been on the show before. She's the founder of Sheyelen, a startup company whose mission, she says, is to promote sustainable economic development in rural sub-Saharan Africa to empower and train women-owned shea butter cooperatives. Rahama, welcome to Upfront. Can you tell us how you started your company?
I started Sheyelen after serving in the Peace Corps. I was a volunteer in Mali, and I was assigned to a community health clinic. And while I was there, I would notice that oftentimes women would come to the health clinic and they would leave unable to buy medicine. And so I started wondering, how do women in my community make money? Why are they struggling with such extreme levels of poverty? And from that, I started researching income-generating activities for women and discovered shea butter and its connection to the lives of women in the Sahel region of Africa. And so I'm originally from Ghana. Half my family is from northern Ghana, where there are tons of shea trees. But it wasn't until I actually lived in a rural setting, because I grew up outside of Syracuse in upstate New York, but living in a rural setting in West Africa, in Mali, is when I started learning about the connection between shea butter and the lives of women in the Sahel region. So as I started seeing the disconnect between women and the marketplace, that's when I started thinking about creating an organization that would help connect shea butter producers directly to the marketplace in a way that help them to create high-quality products and distribute those products in a way that would allow them to generate living wages and in a more sustainable manner, so that they could do things like send their kids to school, buy food, buy medicine, simply by creating a stronger link between producers and consumers.
And how has the experience been for you? If a young person wanted to be an entrepreneur, what type of advice would you give them?
Well, I call myself the 10-year overnight success. And I jest because it doesn't happen overnight. It's taken me a very long time to get to the point where I am today, where Sheyelen is actually distributing products through Whole Food Markets and independent channels along the East Coast. And honestly, one of the first things is to have a passion for what you're doing, because if it doesn't happen overnight, you need staying power, you need to be encouraged, you need to believe in what you're doing in order to be able to stick with it. And so I think first and foremost, you really have to have passion for what it is that you're doing, your idea, your vision, what you believe. And then secondly, you have to understand the market. There are some key business concepts that any entrepreneur, you might not know it from the beginning, but you'll definitely have to learn as you go along. And for me, I started Sheyelen in my early 20s. I had absolutely no business background. I had never taken a business class in my entire life. There are a lot of concepts that I didn't understand. For example, profit and loss statements, creating a balance sheet, being able to forecast, understanding profit margins, operations, being able to get shea from the women's group in West Africa all the way to, you know, a retail store in the U.S. and all the steps along the way. And
so
I learned it.
So you learn many of the things along the way.
In my experience, absolutely. I think And I hope that encourages people that you don't have to have everything all together all at the same time. But the key thing is to really have passion for what it is that you believe in. And then, of course, being able to understand the market that you're entering into. And so who is your customer? How are you going to market to that customer? How are you going to get your product or service to that customer? All of those things kind of feed into, as you develop your idea, further refine it and develop your plan, those are some of the things that you'll have to understand before you really can get from idea to launch to growing a successful business.
Are there any specific challenges or unique challenges that face a young woman entrepreneur?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, there are challenges that all entrepreneurs face, from being able to raise capital, being able to penetrate the marketplace. You know, depending on what your product or service is, you'll have issues specific to that product or service. But also there is the gender component. There is the component of being young. In my experience, of course, being starting Shayaleen at a young age and being a woman, there are a lot of challenges that I experienced. One, people taking me seriously, and instead of thinking, you know, that I was coming to the table with a very serious idea and serious commitment to grow and build this business that I had, it was very challenging, because a lot of times, if you don't have certain credentials, people don't take you seriously. And as I mentioned, I didn't have very many credentials in my early 20s. And then, of course, the gender piece. I think that there have been situations and issues that I've had to deal with. You know, sexism that exists. And regardless of if you're an entrepreneur or working in a company or an organization, at times you have to deal with that as a woman. Mm-hmm. And I've dealt with it by simply staying focused. I have a very strong ethical and value system that I stick to. And that's how I've been able to kind of deal with those challenges. And also having a great network of people around me who can support me, who I can share some of these stories and some of those challenges with, and who can help balance out some of the negative experiences I've had with the positive ones. And it all goes back again to whether or not you truly believe in the work that you're doing, because challenges come in life. The mere fact that we get up every day, we take a breath, we're human, challenges will present themselves.
Absolutely.
There are racial inequalities in this world. There are gender inequalities in this world, but we have to take a stand and work for what we believe in. And I think that for me has been why I've been able to push through and have been able to accomplish some of the things that I have over the last decade.
As an individual, you know, I've helped those who can't afford, you know, something like food. You know, there are times whereby you are able to help those who can't afford food. And also, I have helped, like, giving them, you know, some clothes which I no longer use, you know. So as an individual, I've done that.
It is proper to assist to the community in which I live, because that's the only way of sharing whatever I have with the people. And at the same time, as a human being, in one point in time, I may consider to at least to contest for any political position. Let's say councillor, I may also stand as a member of parliament. This will require people to know me. And for my community to vote for me into such positions, they need to know me. I need to be with them. I need to participate in whatever activities are taking place in that particular community.
By name, I'm Kenny Evans, South Sudanese. For us here in Juba, at times when it comes to a day of cleaners, when the government or just the community leader of that specific area, when he asks the citizens that tomorrow there is going to be a general cleaner, so he urges people to come and join hands and clean the environment. So I find myself also involved in it. And I thought that is a great thing.
The underlying important aspect of playing your part is that, number one, we can't expect payment in return for it. The payment comes in dividends, but they don't come in monetary terms necessarily. The payoff is that we live in a better society. We live in a place where our neighbors are happier because they maybe, you know, have access to something they didn't have yesterday, or they could solve a particular problem because of someone else's help.
So is there a connection between social responsibility and social entrepreneurship? Zachary Kaufman is a young lawyer and social entrepreneur and author. His recent book is Social Entrepreneurship in the Age of Atrocities. I got him on the line. And we start off by talking about one's social responsibility to their community.
So social responsibility is such an important topic. We're all, of course, members of not only our local community, but also the state and the nation and the international community. Our social responsibility is determined by the various laws and ethics. Laws tell us what we can and can't do, and ethics tell us what we should and shouldn't do, and our religions also may play a role as well, to the extent that you have a religion. So we all make an impact on the world around us, and social responsibility means that we have an obligation to make a positive impact to benefit the society at large and also the environment. And our individual responsibility, which is also sometimes called pro-social behavior, can be practiced in multiple ways, such as by donating to charity or consuming environmentally friendly, which are also known as green products,
right,
or recycling or sharing or donating blood or even volunteering our time to worthy causes.
Okay. Now, there are very many actors in any single society or single community, and that includes individuals, people, but also companies and organizations that work in these communities. Would you say that a company or a business has a different social responsibility from an individual?
Well, in many ways, individuals and corporations have similar social responsibilities. They both recognize that the interdependence of the unit, whether an individual or a business, and the greater world around it. But the definition of corporate social responsibility is a little different. Corporate social responsibility is a set of policies and mechanisms for businesses to regulate themselves, to comply with, or even to advance certain legal, ethical, and industry norms and standards. And this is all based on the principles of accountability and transparency and respect. It's sometimes referred to as the concept of doing well by doing good. And there are various types of social responsibilities and examples that that we could discuss.
Is this something that was taught to you, at these values that you were instilled in with by your parents, or it just came naturally?
I think for some people, a sense of social responsibility can be innate, and for others, it's learned. Some people are born with sort of a strong ethical compass, including a social responsibility, and then others learn such behavior and way of engaging through their parents and teachers and religious and political leaders. And I'm very fortunate to have had wonderful parents and grandparents who taught me that it's my responsibility to engage with my community, whether local or global, and to really become involved. And so I think for me, a lot of it was taught to me by people I trust.
Okay. Now let's talk again about a topic that you're quite fond of, that you're passionate about, and that's social entrepreneurship, and how that is also part of social responsibility. What is social entrepreneurship, Zach?
Social entrepreneurship is an innovative venture, whether for-profit, non-profit, or some combination, which seeks to further a social and or environmental objective. And social entrepreneurship can be, but is not necessarily a component of social responsibility. Social responsibility seeks to further a social and or environmental objective, just like social entrepreneurship, but social responsibility need not be entrepreneurial. So, for example, a corporation that is socially responsible would reduce the amount of paper it uses unnecessarily, but it may do so in a conventional way, such as simply by printing out fewer emails or by printing on both sides of a piece of paper.
And on that note, I want to thank all our listeners and all our contributors to the show today. We'll catch you again next week right here on The Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Upfront Africa. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com. Until next time, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye.